I thank God that we can preach faith, hope, and love. We can tell people no matter how deep the pit, thank God, God will bring you from the pit to the palace. No matter how big your mess is, God has a message of hope and restoration for you. You can't tell me a story too sad, but what I'll bounce back and say, yes, but my God is bigger than that circumstance. As I read that newsletter, it just cemented something in my heart that I settled a long time ago. I said, God, never let me be guilty of being the last voice of doom and gloom that would send somebody over the edge. I want to be a messenger of hope. Yes, I preach repentance. Yes, I'm against sin. Yes, I'm against everything the devil stands for. I'm going to tell you that there's a better way, there's a higher way, there's a way out, there's a way up, and His name is Jesus. You say things couldn't get any worse for me. Oh yeah, they could, but I'm here to tell you that God can bring you out of the worst pit that there possibly could ever be. You know, I've shared this on a number of occasions. Revival, according to the old Webster's dictionary that I have, it just means renewed attention to something that has been ignored or forgotten. Revival of religion means renewed interest in religion after indifference and decline. Folks, we're in the fourth generation that really has not known revival. I mean, we have children today that are the product of prayer out of schools and the Ten Commandments, not saved by them, but I don't want to live next door to you if you don't believe in... You'd steal my lawnmower. You'd steal my dog. You'd steal my car. If you have no conscience, why swear on a Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when you're lying like a dog? How can we teach our children? That's why churches have got to preach and teach as we've never preached and as we've never taught before. Revival is telling the truth the first time when no one's listening. Revival is doing the right thing when there's no person in sight. Revival is doing what Jesus did, not what Jesus would do. What Jesus did. That's revival. Living, walking like Jesus. Oh, it means to be revived from a state of languor or depression. Restoration to consciousness of new life. Oh, I tell you, so many people are bummed out. Just tired, bummed out. To be restored to a consciousness of new life. Just look what the Lord has done. As we shared with you, remember the devil's short-handed. There's not enough devils and demons to go around. So he has to depend on that can of worms between your ears to keep getting you in trouble. There's not enough demons and devils to make you fail God, quit God, leave God. It's that can of worms in your head. Oh, mama, it's a restoration to consciousness of new life. It's an evangelistic meeting or a series of evangelistic meetings, Mr. Webster said, often characterized by emotional excitement. All revival's always noisier than you think it should be, always lasts longer than you think it should. But I'll tell you, the devil's done an overkill on people for so long, it's about time we come to the house of God and stay there until we're through. Stay there until the Word of God is preached. Stay there until the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, pulls us out of the pit. I tell you, revival is what life is really all about. David said in Psalms 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I used to travel, we were back in Bible college, and man, you start to pray for somebody, and you get that old olive oil out of the pulpit, it smelled like it had been hidden in Noah's Ark. Man, stink, rancid. I'd have to hold my nose one hand and anoint him with the other, you know. But oh, I tell you, God's oil is not rancid, it's not old. It doesn't smell bad. God's oil has a fragrance. It has a healing. It has a restoring power. God's oil is good oil. I found out that I was a revivalist because a revivalist is a clergyman who promotes revivals, an advocator of or participator in religious revivals, one who prays for, preaches, and promotes revival. Oh, not only the field ministry, but thank God, I'm a revivalist. See, what some of you don't know and some of you do know, I was raised under some John Waynes. I'm so glad that I wasn't raised under little milquetoast type of individuals. I'm so glad that God raised me under some rugged John Wayne Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God, full of faith men that just had enough nerve and enough. I remember when Pastor Carl Alcorn came in. Our little old church is running 20 people. We'd had 5 pastors in 4 years. We was going down slower than any church some of them ever been in before, you know. And that pastor walked in. I never will forget. He had his head up. He looked you in the eye. I mean, there was fire in his eyes. And he said, don't worry about this 20 or 22 people. We're going to fill up this church. Now, that church held 200 people. We'd never seen 200 people in the history of that church in that church. He said, we're going to fill this church up. And he said, they're going to be standing outside the church looking in through the windows. Some of the old heads, they punched each other. Yeah, we've heard, you know, thank God he threw up the old gospel tent. People started getting saved and families started coming to Jesus. And then we went down on Hemp Hill Street and pitched it between 2 taverns. We'd catch them coming and going. Get them saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Get them in church on Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, I mean, you had to get there early to get a half decent seat in that little auditorium. And I remember that was in the days of evaporative coolers. And so every window, so they'd open every other window. And I remember opening every other window and seeing 5 or 6 heads looking through the window, trying to figure out what was going on inside that auditorium. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, revival changes the rules. Revival turns things around. Revival puts new life into a dead situation. I want to minister on why it's not too late for revival. Let me just tell you, and then I'm going to back it up with a few things. I believe with all of my heart it's not too late for Joel's revival. You know why it's not too late for Joel's revival? Because Joel's revival has not yet come. It started. I said it started, but Joel's revival has not yet come. Let me give you some insights here. Brother Nichols, how do you know it's not too late for revival? Because Hebrews 13 and 8 is still true today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you young people, you didn't just come in here to get the last gasp of breath as the church falls over dead. You got here just in time. You got here just in time. Joel's revival in its fullness has not yet come. It started on the day of Pentecost. But Joel's revival is yet to come. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What He was, He is. And what He is, He shall forever be. He was a healer in the past. He's a healer tonight. He was a Savior in the past. He's a Savior tonight. He pointed us to the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost in the past. And He's still pointing people to the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. He can still take a prodigal and change his life. He can still turn things around. He can still take woman with the issue of blood and cleanse her without even having a healing line, without even laying hands on the woman, without even calling a healing service. He was a healing service. Everywhere Jesus was, He was a healing service. And this woman said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. Jesus didn't call a healing service, didn't lay hands on her, didn't anoint her with oil. But thank God when she touched the hem of His garment, He said, virtue is gone out of me. Who touched me? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've heard Brother Charlie give his testimony. It's a wonderful testimony. But I want you to know that Jesus is no less than He was the very moment that Charlie Pryor put his life 100% into the hands of Jesus, and alcohol and drugs were broken, and God turned him around, made an instrument of righteousness out of his life. Oh, there's a lot of products. You know, I kind of get hung up on one product. It may be a toothpaste or a deodorant, or it may be some cosmetic or whatever, and you use it, and all of a sudden one day you notice. I noticed even in razor blades, there's a conspiracy with razor blade companies. They all put out the sharpest blade that's ever been manufactured. But one day you say, something's wrong. That's a brand new blade, and it's dragging on my face here. You know what's wrong? They're dulling those blades down, getting you up for the next edition that's coming out. They're getting you tired of what you've been so proud of. So when the next one comes out, you'll say, well, that's the way I really ought to go. I want you to know God is not the author of bait and switch. I mean, had a little trouble getting sleep last night. So I thought, well, I'll just leaf through. And I was looking through some all the car pages. And I just had to laugh. I used to believe all that. I used to believe all that. All the small print. All. And when somebody says, advertises a certain price, and then they say, I don't want to hear that. That's not the way God advertises. That's not the way God advertises. Yes, He saves, He heals, He satisfies. But Disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. God has no disclaimers in His Word. God's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a baptizer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have fine print. He doesn't have Philadelphia lawyers. God doesn't put a spin on truth. He told the truth the first time. It's not too late for revival because Hebrews 13:8 is still true today. It's not too late for revival because Matthew 24:14 has not been fulfilled yet. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. As I was meditating and putting some notes down for this message tonight, I thought, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if the last person heard the word in Uganda? What if while we were preaching tonight, a field where we've sown so much in the last few months and a couple of years, what if it was in Uganda where we've sown so much seed? What if the last person out in some remote portion of Uganda heard the word of God and the trumpet of God would sound? This gospel shall be preached. You say, why do you preach it? Why do you advertise it? Why do you do everything within your power to get the word of God out? Because the Bible said this gospel shall be preached in all the earth. It must be preached. God just put us here to be a sweet little quiet teaching center. Well, that's okay. It's okay sometime. But I want you to know that every true New Testament church, you ought to be able to get saved in that church on purpose. You don't have to bootleg it. You can get saved in that church. Churches ought to be we used to call them a salvation station. Church ought to be a place where you can be born again. Have people come in here and said, you know, I'm amazed. We see more people come to Jesus. We see more people come to Jesus in a single service than we saw in weeks or months or years in some places where we've been. You know why? Because we bait the hook and we put the hook out. We have a trot line here at Calvary. We don't throw out one dry hook and say, come on, fish. But thank God we bait as many hooks as we can put in the water. And we put our faith and mix it with it. And we know, thank God, we're going to catch fish. There's not a week, there's not a day that this church does not catch fish. We're catching fish. When no one else is catching fish, we're catching fish. When fish aren't biting, they're biting on our hooks. Hallelujah! Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Go fishing at Calvary. They bite on the hook every time. I know it's not too late for revival because Matthew 24:14 has not been fulfilled. There's somebody in all of this world, and there must be several somebodies who as yet have not heard the gospel of Christ. Oh, I know it's not too late for revival because the Roman letter tells us that God's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. You know, it seems like it takes so long sometimes. In fact, there's scriptures that say, oh Lord, how long, how long, how long? And I remember Harold Bredesen said it seemed like God's a slowpoke, but when He moves, does He move? Sometimes it seems like God's left town and has an unlisted phone number, but all of a sudden, thank God, like a jag of lightning from the throne of grace, and your prayer is answered and your need is met and things begin to happen in your city and in your church. God is going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. You know, I was just thinking, just in our day and time, we've seen the dreaded Berlin Wall become nothing more than a piece of history auction off to the highest bidder. We've seen that in our time. The dreaded Berlin Wall, they said it would never come down. President Ronald Reagan prophesied as he laid his hand on that wall and called that wall down. Thank God, oh, for the memory of men like that. But in our day and time, we've seen the Berlin Wall come down. In our day and time, we've seen Poland open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our day and time, we've seen Hungary, the Communist Party, topple. And when I was there in Hungary a couple of years ago, thank God, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Hungary. The Iron Curtain has come down. How long it'll be down, I don't know. But thank God, all across Russia tonight, they're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. An unheard of, unthought of thing years ago. But they're preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and building churches. Romania executed their cruel, bloody dictator. Oh, they thought it would never come to an end. A bloody, bloody, horrible type of individual. But oh, thank God he's dead. He's gone. Thank God, and our missionaries are over there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And other missionaries are over there. Thank God in Uganda, they thought that old bloody dictator would never come down. Some people say he martyred up to 1 million people in Uganda, Idi Amin, the raid on Entebbe, and all of that. You've seen the history of it. Oh, folks, listen to me tonight. Oh, my God. There's times when things seem so impossible, so hard, so difficult. And pastors know what I'm talking about. Seem like you slam against that wall so many times you think, oh God, should I rise and try it again? But oh, get up and rise and hit it again. Hit it again. Pray again. Give again. Go again. Charge again. Go to church again. Why should I go to church? Doesn't seem like anything's happening in my life. Tonight may be your night. The bamboo curtain, it's not down, but they're getting through it some way. Praise God. There's all kind of things happening in China. Folks, do you realize God is doing a quick work, and He's going to cut it short in righteousness. Now, there's another reason that it's not too late for revival. There's a righteous core of men and women, boys and girls in this nation that will settle for nothing less than Holy Ghost Book of Acts revival. I said there's a core of believers in this nation, young married couples, retirement age couples, young people, boys and girls, teenagers, that will settle for nothing less but Holy Ghost Book of Acts revival. Religion's not enough for them. They've had it with religion. Some say that our sins are worse than the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. The newsletter I was reading, it listed all the sins, and you know, I know the categories. And they said America's had it. The clock's ticking. And, you know, and I know one day it's going to be worse than anyone could prophesy. It's going to be worse than anyone could ever preach. And I plan on being out of here by then. But I want you to listen to me. Some people say the sins of America are too bad. It's too late for revival in America. But I read in my Bible just today, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And the greatest revivals have come on the heels of the greatest depravity. I know things are rough, but you know it hasn't been just that many years ago in this old United States of America where children were drunken in the streets before noon. I didn't say teenagers, I said children. That's church history. There was a time when boys and girls and teenagers were drunken in the streets, passed out by noon or shortly after noon. Well, I haven't seen that. I know things are rough, but let me tell you that right in the midst of that came the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, turned things around. The stories are legion back under the ministry of Finney, where the taverns closed and the houses of prostitution closed and the liquor merchants were out of business. Why? Because people were no longer drinking the liquor that kills you. They were drinking the new wine of the Holy Spirit of God. The metroplex of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, not for its great sin, but because 10 righteous could not be found. Shocker, isn't it? Well, Brother Nichols, they were destroyed because of their great sin. That was a contributing factor. But the straw that broke the camel's back was God could not find 10 righteous in the whole metroplex of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you just look around here tonight. Couldn't find 10 righteous. You see, this is the thing that God made real to my heart. Thank God that the heart of God is moved more by the saints than by sinners. Hey, the devil's not in control tonight. The sinners are not in control. God is moved more by the prayer and the faith of the saints than by the actions and the deeds of the sinner. I'll tell you another reason I know it's not too late for revival, because you're here tonight. Look at you. All you've been through, and here you are in church tonight. All the times the devil said, quit, 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 but you didn't quit. And if you did, you got up and dusted yourself off and ran back to the house of God. You're here tonight. You're here tonight. Every time you walk in that church door, you're voting for righteousness. You're voting for revival. You're voting for an outpouring of God's Spirit. Going to church is not just a nice thing to do. It's the most powerful, dynamic thing that a body of Christ can do. To return to your own company and preach and pray and sing and shout one more time and know that the harvest is coming in. All across America, there are ministers and lay people who are hungering and thirsting after real Holy Ghost revival. After all you've been through, here you are in church. But oh, there's another one. You know, beware, the devil has a history of trying to stop revivals in their infancy. Whatever God's done in this house, it's infancy. I mean, I've seen a lot of maturity in the middle of it, but whatever God has done is a beginning. And you know the way the average church treats revival? It's like the whole family flocks to the hospital when a new baby is born, and all the carrying on you ever heard in your life, and then everybody leaves, and they leave the baby in the hospital. And they say, we'll come back and visit it every once in a while. Sure hope it gets along all right. And that's the way many people treat a new commitment with the Lord. Oh, they bawl, they squall, they cry, they promise God everything under the moon, and then leave the hospital and leave the baby of revival in the hospital. That's not God's way. You bring the baby home, and you nurture the baby, and you feed the baby. And when the baby's sick, you take care of the baby. A baby cannot take care of itself. It's got to be taken care of. Revival will not just be revival because it should be. John Hall said it best. This world system is designed to help you backslide. It is. Your relatives are designed to help you backslide if they're not going on in revival. This world system is designed to help you backslide. Oh, bless you, dear. Aren't they just wearing you out down at that church? You know, Pastor Nichols, I don't know what's wrong with him. He just thinks they have to have church down there all the time. I mean, God bless you, dear. You ought to find a nice, sweet, sedate, dead church where you can come every other Sunday morning even if you don't need it. Satan has a history of trying to stop revivals in their infancy. Remember when Moses was a baby? He saw the potential of Moses and did everything within his power to kill that little baby. Oh, Pharaoh did everything in the world to kill that little baby. But thank God for a mother of faith. I said, thank God for a mother of faith. I had one of those. She's in heaven tonight. Thank God for a mother of faith and said, Satan, you can't have my baby. Satan, you can't have my teenagers. Satan, you can't have my family. Thank God for a mother of faith. Thank God for a mother of faith who just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And oh, how God put that thing together. But you see, Satan tried to kill little Moses because he doesn't know everything, but he has a real gift of suspicion. Satan did his best, but he couldn't kill Moses. When Jesus was born, he did his best to kill Jesus, but he couldn't kill him. He did everything he could to turn evil Herod against that baby and to try to pursue the baby and kill the baby. And you know, there was a price on Jesus' head even when he was born. There was a price on his head. Herod said, you know, just come and tell me where the baby is so that I can go and worship him. Sounds just like religion today, so I can go kill him. Yeah. Yeah. Very few people in the kingdom of God really understand the spirit of revival. Oh, we know happy songs and we know fast preaching and, you know, there's a lot of things that, and I'm not, you know, that all goes in the mix. But I'm going to tell you folks, revival goes beyond personalities. It goes beyond people. It goes beyond music. It goes beyond and goes down into the heart and changes us and turns us around. Gives us new motives and motivations. Oh, thank God. He tried to kill Jesus, but he couldn't do it. Oh, my. Joseph was thrown into a pit. Satan knew Joseph had a future. He knew Joseph had a future. He tried to stop the revival of Joseph before it ever got started. Daniel was taken into slavery. And then Paul's life was at risk from the very moment that he was converted. You remember that? They had to lower him over a wall in a basket. Oh, my. And I think of this city. Of course, I was born in Harris Hospital. I've been in and out of this city all my life. And today I was reminiscing. I went through my little address book and I noticed the name of a couple of preachers who aren't here anymore. Obviously, they've been in that book for a long time. I'm thinking of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 churches that should have done what this church has done. I'm thinking of 5 pastors that should have done what God's led us to do over this period of time. I'm thinking of churches that had momentum and power and anointing and a spirit of revival, and people were coming to those churches and being born again. You say, what happened, Brother Nichols? Well, false doctrine got into one. Immorality got into a couple of them. Church trouble came in. That's why I hate church trouble. Church trouble is a monster from the pits of hell. I mean, right in the middle of the precious moving of God's Holy Spirit, the devil will come in and try to bring church trouble and all kind of yang-yang going on. And I watched a church go from packed church down to hardly enough to even pay the bills. Then there was legalism. And then pastors just getting sick in their bodies or discouraged and resigning a red-hot church because they couldn't stand the pressure any longer. At least they thought they couldn't. Listen, folks, we need to pray for churches, and we need to pray for leadership. Every time you help your pastor, you help yourself. Remember, we're not perfect, we're just human, but thank God we're called and we're anointed and we're appointed. And how we shine when we let God do His thing through us. Oh, I thought of the churches that should have done it. I thought of the services where I've been, and I saw churches jam-packed with the move of God. And then maybe immorality, one false doctrine, church trouble, and just all kind of craziness came through. And I can drive you by about 4 or 5 of those tonight. Every once in a while, I just take a little sentimental journey to keep me awake. I just drive around. I said, God, I remembered when I was in that church as a young man, and I saw the power of God flowing. God, I saw people coming to Jesus. I saw Holy Ghost revival. But God, the fire of revival's gone out. Went past one the other day. They bulldozed it. It's nothing but a concrete slab. That was the church where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Rode a bus all the way across town. Transferred one bus and went on. When I was just hardly in my teens, I was so hungry for God. And oh, I'd go into that church. It was just like heaven on earth. Heaven on earth and revivals. And I could call the name of some leading evangelists that came through that house. Folks, revival is a gift from God that must not be ignored. Revival is a gift from God that must not be ignored. It's a precious gift from God. I'm hungry for God tonight. You say, Pastor Nichols, have you seen everything you want to see? Dear Lord, no. Are you seeing everything you want to see? Dear Lord, no. But I'll tell you one thing, I haven't quit. And every time I step up to the plate, I don't believe in bunting, I believe in slamming for the wall. We swing from the left and we swing from the right. We're going to sing the high praises of God. And those that work with me, every time we stand up, we're going to give Satan the biggest fit he's ever had. Hallelujah. We're going to destroy his kingdom. We're going to pound his head. We're going to destroy his lies. We're going to tell you the truth about revival. See, sometimes I feel like probably I wasn't God's first choice for some things that God's called me to do. But God looked around and God will use the best clay he can find. God will use the best clay he can find. It's not the wise. Paul said it's not the eloquent. It's not the intellectual. God takes the foolish things of this world. That's why all of us have a chance. That's why all of us have a chance. Billy Graham, when his revival broke out in Los Angeles, did he have one or did he have 2 weeks of sermons? And he had to just frantically call out and say, send me some outlines. And he'd go over those outlines and God give him some meat to put on the outlines. And that great revival that launched the ministry of evangelist Billy Graham, God found a simple man that went out into the woods with his Bible, and he said, the professors say that this book's not real. The professors say that the Word of God is not inspired. The professors say that Jesus was not virgin born. He said, I'm going to stay out in these woods until it's settled once and for all. Is Jesus the Son of God? Is the Word of God true? Are the things of God real? And when Billy Graham left that forest, he said, it was settled in my heart. Jesus is verily the Son of God, virgin born. The Word of God is real. And God's power is not diminished. God's used that precious. Every one of us here, Billy Graham said, well, I've said that, but it just didn't come out that way. Yeah. Profoundness and simplicity. Oh, folks, tonight, if I could reverently say it, not just because you're here tonight, but because obviously there's a spark in your heart, could I just tell you how blessed you are just to be here tonight? Thank God. Thank God there's a fire burning in your heart. Thank God you care. Thank God you're not some old, dried, worn-out church member sitting around, you know, criticizing everything. Thank God you're here on the front burner wanting to do something for God, wanting to give something to God. I was in a very elite, big official's funeral just the other day, and thank God for the good people. I thank God for the good people. But I'm telling you, I sat there and I said, God, I can't wait to get back to Calvary Cathedral International, where the life is, where Jesus is, where the Holy Ghost is welcome. You can have that dead stuff. You can have that dry bird's nest. You can have that used to be religion. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The devil has a history of trying to stop revivals in their infancy. He targets leaders and he targets churches. He tries to steal finances. He tries to steal everything that goes into revival. But he can't do it. Oh, the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. I'll tell you, it hit me this week. Came to morning prayer and I'm telling you, I started writing and I couldn't stop writing. How many remember when the stock market took a dip just a little while ago? What was it, a few weeks ago, whatever? Some of you remember better than others. But anyway. But I got something for you. I said, Lord, what about that stock market thing? And here's exactly what the Spirit of God said. What was lost in the stock market can be replaced. We still have the main things. Faith. We still have faith. We still have hope. We still have love. We still have God Almighty, His Son Jesus Christ, the blessed Holy Ghost, and we still have the living Word that lives and abides forever. You see, our money's lost or not lost, and will come back again with great increase because we're believers. You see, we as believers did not lose the main thing. The main thing is still in place. And I've never used this analogy before, and I hope I don't get out on a limb with some of you. But you know, the illustration God gave me. You know, some people, all their eggs are in one basket. That's all right if His name is Jesus, but just follow me just for a moment. God said the full gospel is like a good, well-diversified mutual fund. Folks, you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. That's where so many Christians miss it. They hit some little bump in the road. Someone says something. Somebody doesn't agree with them. They get a pain in their body. Some little nonsensical thing. I'm out of here. Where are you going? Don't know. I'm out of here. And you're out of faith. And you're out of hope. And you're out of love. And you're out of safety. And you walk right out of a safe harbor into the hailstorm of the devil. And he pounds your head and he pounds your head and he pounds your head. You see, we're in this thing not for a day or two, not for a week or two, not for a month or two. We're in this thing for the long haul. You see, we've got so much invested from Calvary Cathedral International. In the stock market, no. But we have so much invested. You know, God said, son, you know, when the stock market took a plunge, that did it back in, what, 87, somewhere right in there. And we went on. But he said, son, when the stock market took a plunge here the other day, did the power tower stop? I said, no, Lord, they just kept on praying. Did morning prayer stop? No, they just kept on praying. Did the single stop? No, they just kept on serving God. Did the youth stop? No, no, they just kept on serving God. Did the praise singer stop? No. Just because the stock market had a hiccup, we didn't stop praising the Lord. The bookstore didn't stop handling good things. Didn't affect our altar calls a bit. People just kept coming down the aisles to Jesus. People just kept coming down the aisles to Jesus. Are you following me? When the stock market had a hiccup, it did not stop what really counts. What really counts just went right on. Because we're diversified. And if I could reverently say it, and if you get mad at me, you'll have to pray through. But you know, the full gospel is kind of a comparison, kind of like a good, well-balanced mutual fund. You see, one's down, but glory to God, look at that other one. We're just knocking the devil's lights out. And one's a little bit slow, the other one just picks up and says, we're going to knock the devil's lights out over here. Thank God we got so many hooks in the water, the devil doesn't have a chance. The devil's short-handed. I said the devil's short-handed. He only left heaven with a third of the angels. God has two-thirds of the angels. There's not enough devils and demons to go around. He's in a world of hurt tonight. What's happening to most people is not the devil. It's that can of worms between their ears. It's that can of worms. You're stinking thinking. get back into Romans 8. I'm telling you, if Romans 8 doesn't put you on your feet, your wood's wet. If it doesn't start a fire in your spirit, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the life of the Spirit of God has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, Jesus did. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Some days I don't know how to pray, but with groanings the Holy Spirit of God just begins to flow through, naying all these things. Let me tell you about my things. You can tell me everything you can tell me, but I'm going to come back and say, naying all your things, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Don't put your things on me. Those things have already been put on Jesus. Naying all of these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So God said, son, when the stock market had a hiccup, God didn't fall off his throne. Jesus didn't walk in and give his resignation. The Holy Ghost didn't just fade off into the sunset. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. The Holy Ghost is still full of power. So what was lost in the stock market can be replaced. We still have what really counts. Malachi 3:6 said, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. You know, this year I've had a couple, three friends change on me. And that kind of shakes you. You know, in the natural, that would shake you up. I've had two or three friends change on me. You better have Jesus for your friend. You say, well, my best friend let me down. Well, that's the problem. Jesus should have been your best friend. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to have to grow up and get over this silly stuff. Revival lifts you above the petty and lifts you above the mundane. If I thought this was where God had planted me and I walked in the door and everybody turned and walked the other way, nobody shook my hand. But when I heard the praise and worship, the glory bells of heaven began to ring in my spirit. When I heard the preaching of the Word of God, something began to flip-flop inside of me. When I brought my tithe and my offering unto the Lord, thank God, praise and worship and prosperity began to happen in my life. Whether you like me or not, whether you speak to me or not, whether you're nice to me or not, I didn't come here for you. I came here for Him. I came here for Jesus. Yeah, Brother Nichols, I found the sweetest little preacher. He's just such a sweet little preacher. And he just, oh, you're in love with a man's what's wrong with you. You need to get in love with the man. Yes, we ought to be friendly. Yes, we ought to be nice. And yes, we ought to show hospitality. And yes, we ought to show the love of God. But I'm telling you, friends, I'm not in this thing just because somebody's nice to me. I'm in this thing because I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God's changed my life, changed my mind, changed my body. And I found reality. And you can't take it away from me. You didn't die on that cross for me. And I didn't die on that cross for you. Jesus died on the cross. So when the stock market went crazy, Jesus didn't go crazy. He just looked down and smiled and said, hold steady, little faith children. Oh, my word doesn't change. My word doesn't change. And of course, one of the main reasons I started out with it, that I know that it's not too late for revival. Joel's revival in all of its fullness has not come yet. Joel's revival in all of its fullness has not come yet. We've seen bits and pieces. I've seen this auditorium jam-packed. I've seen the glory cloud. I've seen heaps of money. I've seen a lot of miracles in this auditorium. But oh, the greatest miracles are yet to come. The greatest financial miracles. The greatest healing miracles. The greatest revival miracles. The greatest Holy Ghost miracles are yet to come. No, it's not too late for revival. Because we're still here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have over 10 people. It's not too late for revival. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11. It's not too late for revival in this section. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's not too late for revival in this section. Oh, praise God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Thank God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's not too late for revival in this section. Oh, Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's not too late for revival in this section. No, it's not too late for revival because you're here tonight. Because I'm here tonight. You say, well, Brother Nichols, you know, I'd like to sit down with you and hear your heart. You'll never hear my heart any better than you've heard me standing up here tonight. Well, Brother Nichols, what's the vision of the house? Honey, if you don't know it by now, I don't know what I can do for you. Our vision is souls, 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 harvest, 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 growth, souls, world, world harvest.